This is the Tourism Brief, episode 7.
Are you looking for some simple and logical business coaching tips and need advice that will help your tourism, travel, or destination company? Manny Papadoulis from Icon Tourism, one of the tourism industry's leading consultants and business coach, reveals strategies, tactics, and marketing solutions that will give you the results that you're looking for. So grab your notepad and pen as Manny Papadoulis and his guests reveal some great tourism business nuggets. The Tourism Brief understands the business of tourism. Now, here's your host, Manny Papadoulis.
Hi and welcome, Manny Papadoulis here from Icon Tourism Consulting, here with our latest podcast talking about the business of tourism. Thank you once again for your feedback and comments from our previous podcast. Can't believe we're at number 7 already. If you'd like to offer a suggestion for future topics, please email me at manny@icontourism.com.au. That is manny@icontourism.com.au. Most of you would know that we've been doing webcasts and webinars since 2007. So today I thought we'd take a look back and go back into the webcast vault to hear one of the most popular webcasts that we did around 4 years ago with an amazing tourism professional, Leslie McKellen, also known as a small town girl. Leslie is going to talk to you about how to market your tourism destination or business with little or no marketing dollars. She basically uses social media, but she has three things that she does. She makes sure there is a plan, that there is a passion, and there are partnerships. Plan, passion, partnerships. She makes an excellent point about partnerships, and with them, you don't have a tourism industry or tourism destination. So Leslie coming up shortly, stay tuned for that. That's going to be a launch back into history and to see how you can market your tourism business or destination with a low budget. But right now, before we get into this, I wanted to talk about the things that kill branding or tourism in general in a destination regionally. At Icon Tourism, we've worked with a number of destinations over the years, and we've found there are only four things or four killers of any marketing effort, and they are local politics, number one, number two, lack of champions or leadership, number three, lack of funding or money by both public and private, and number four, parochialism. When a destination is not working, I usually find one or more of these things is happening within the destination. Often when a tourism destination is not working, they'll blame the state tourism organisation or the national tourism organisation or the local government or even the state or federal government. They may, and as they do a lot in WA, usually blame the regional tourism organisation. However, if you look at the destination objectively, when there is a problem, you'll find one of those four things I've just mentioned. Number one was local politics. Local politics can cause more problems and usually undermine any branding or marketing effort. Branding in a destination is about narrowing your focus. For example, as soon as you float the idea of being, say, the equestrian destination, someone will say, but we have so much more than that. Or I'm a member, I pay my dues, I think we should be known as a fishing destination. And then we try to make everyone happy and we end up with, we have something for everyone. Or the politics of how the website looks. I often ask people the question in this situation is, how long have you been a destination marketer? Or the impact that local shire has on tourism. There's local politics within the visitor centre, within the local tourism organisation, and or within the town itself. And local politics is a big killer of a successful tourism destination. Another big killer is lack of money. All successful brands are built on product and experiences, not just promotion. If you hope to become the equestrian centre, do you have the stadiums and facilities that cater to equestrian event organisers? Is the footing conducive for equestrian events? Do you have boarding supplies, parking for large rigs, vending opportunities for horse owners? Developing the product you need usually requires funding, both public and private funding. The best brands are built when there's considerable private sector investment, not just public sector amenities. Think Kangaroo Island or Southern Ocean Lodge or Stefano's Restaurant in Mildura or the wineries in Margaret River. Both are private sector driven. Most are private sector driven and public sector driven, but if there's not the funds, there isn't the destination. Another thing that is missing is lack of champions or leaders. Without strong champions or leaders, no branding or specialisation effort can succeed. Do you have the people who push the agenda forward, never taking no for an answer? Do you have the people passionate about tourism who understand how it works, who can promote it and push it and rally local people? It only takes 2, 3, or 4 strong champions and leaders to win in the destination marketing game. As a matter of fact, if you have the right champions in the right place, they'll find the money for tourism, they'll work through the local politics, and they'll make it happen, and tourism will become a focus of the destination. Adequate resourcing and leadership are probably the two most important factors contributing to the management of a successful tourism destination. Without them, you won't have a successful tourism destination. Financial resourcing without competent, visionary, and motivating leadership will not allow a destination to reach its full potential. People think Margaret River just happened by itself, and it's a fantastic destination, and it has the winery and the beaches and the restaurants and the food and the concerts. But when Margaret River was just in its early stages of being a wine region, visionary leadership from Dennis and Trish Horgan at Lewin Estate created the first outdoor concert with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, Symphony Orchestra, or Philharmonic Orchestra, who had never performed outside of London or Europe and then never performed an open concert, were down in Lewin Estate. The publicity was worldwide for this event. It put Lewin Estate on the map. It put Margaret River on the map. It put wine and food in Western Australia on the map in Margaret River. This came about not by some political or government policy. It came about by visionary leadership. And that's just one example. If you don't have leadership, you don't have a tourism destination. The final thing that I find that kills tourism destinations or tourism branding is parochialism. Sometimes I look at the tourism industry in Australia and think, wow, over 30 years it's come such a long way. But then I hear of something and I think we're still stuck in day one, week one stuff. I'm talking about and understanding the impact parochialism has on a destination. It is the one big killer of destination marketing, and because much of the industry don't know what they don't know, they tend to go at each other, not realising the irreparable damage that they can be doing to their town, region, or destination. Now, before you say it's not us, but it's them, have a listen to yourself. Parochialism is about working together in partnerships. Another reason I'm going to be playing Leslie's old podcast, because she talks much about partnerships. No matter how well a tourism plan is researched and prepared, the crucial ingredient to achieving a successful outcome is the ability and willingness of organisations involved, the local government, regional tourism organisations, local tourism organisations, state tourism organisations, to establish a strong partnership and to work cohesively towards a common goal. That may mean that one sub-region over 100 kilometres away has to work with another region. One may have wine and food, the other may have harbour, beaches and whales. But working together and realising that your competitor is not the region next door or down the road, but is in another state and who is showing a united front and offering to the consumer better than you are. You've got to be working in partnerships. You've got to be united. So let's get off the negative, but I'll just repeat them. If your destination is not working, it's local politics, it's lack of leadership, it's lack of money, both public and private, and it's parochialism, and that last one is a huge killer. All right, so I've talked about the negatives. Let's listen to Leslie, the small town girl, who will give you some solutions. But before we do, I have some people email me last week that they couldn't get the information from Tourism Tim Warren's webpage. So I'm going to give it to you again. If you text to the number, I'll give you the number first. Text number is 0429-883-462. That's 0429-883-462. Now, if you text I love tourists as one word, I love tourists as one word, your name, just your single name, and your email address to that number, 0429-883-462, we'll email back to you a link to Tourism Tim Warren's website on his course that he offers, which is fantastic, on website marketing. Now, just bear with me for 2 seconds as I find Leslie's old webcast and we'll begin playing it. So, thank you for listening this week. Now, sit back and listen to a webcast from the past. Leslie McCallan, a small town girl. Which hopefully should start shortly. Technology is good when it works as Tim said.
Hello and welcome to Icon Tourism Teleseminar webcast, Just a Small Town Girl, low-cost ways to market your town or region, with our very special guest, Leslie McLellan, Director of Marketing and Tourism, Lake Arrowhead Communities Chamber of Commerce. Icon Tourism's Teleseminars webcast is designed to help you build your tourism business by bringing the best advice from experts in the field. Our expert tonight, Leslie McLellan, is renowned social media tourism marketing expert based in the US. She is a speaker, blog writer, small business tourism marketing expert, winner of many business awards, including a Woman of Distinction Award for Economic and Social Development, and this year was featured in both Social Media Examiner and Celebrity Dialogue, both online publications, for her success with social media marketing. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, Manny, and thank you so much for having me on with you. It's great to be here, and I sure look forward to having a wonderful call and giving some of your podcast listeners and my supporters here in the U.S. some really great marketing tips.
We're all been looking forward to it, and I must admit, Leslie, I've had a lot of emails in the last 24 hours. People are quite excited because you've actually been there and done that with the social media marketing and tourism. Let me just remind you and everyone listening that we'll be coming back to lines live later in the interview. That is, for those listening on the via phone, we'll be coming back and you'll be having the opportunity to ask questions. But if you have any questions in the meantime, particularly for those listening on the webcast, just complete the question form that you see on the webcast page and ask away. I'll be seeing that on computer and I'll be passing those questions on to Leslie throughout the call. Otherwise, like I said, if you're on the phone later on, I'll open up the lines and you can ask away. Also, you may like to have a pen and paper ready to take notes, as I know Leslie will be giving you some very valuable information. And for those listening in Australia, this may be the only opportunity to hear Leslie speak. Finally, for those listening via the webcast, there's a new technology we've added to the webcast, and that's a little chat room. So you can enroll in the chat room. You can see it there again on your computer and be talking to other people while you're listening to Leslie, and also be able to make comments, etc. So this is very new for Icon Tourism, so we'll see how that goes today. At the end of the call, make sure you stay to the end because Leslie will have heaps of valuable information. We'll be giving some special giveaways and also opportunity to buy the new book that I have produced and Icon Tourism produced called Tourism Marketing Essentials, which you'll be able to purchase at a very special price for those only listening to the webcast. Let me give you a little bit about our guest expert today. Leslie is the Director of Marketing and Tourism for the Lake Arrowhead Community Chamber of Commerce. She has successfully marketed this small Southern California resort town with limited budget. She has demonstrated her ability time and again by creating and executing marketing campaigns for countless small businesses that do not have a huge marketing budget. Leslie began her career in marketing some 29 years ago, working for the U.S. Ski Association, writing promotional material and developing specialized themed ski weeks for the 10,000-plus members of the association. This job required much travel, and after 5 years of getting married, Leslie decided to get a real job and work for the Orange Country Register newspaper from 1986 to 87 as the promotion manager within the circulation department. In 1987, she realized that travel and tourism were in her blood for good, and she came to Lake Arrowhead Hilton Resort, where she stayed for the next 4 years, ultimately holding the position of Director of Sales and Marketing. In 1990, she became a board member of the Lake Arrowhead Community's Chamber of Commerce, and in 1991, she joined the staff of the Chamber in the newly created capacity of Director of Marketing and Tourism, and has remained there ever since. She was also the Director of Marketing for the Lake Arrowhead Village from 2002 to 2006, and helped start the acclaimed Summer Concert Series, which has now turned into Southern California's largest free summer concert series. Most recently, she has received recognition for her social media efforts on Lake Arrowhead's behalf, starting from nothing and building the social media program into an extremely strong and viable marketing program, spending $0, only spending the time to learn how to do it correctly. Leslie, that's a brilliant resume.
Boy, you know, I start getting a little tired when I hear all that.
Leslie, you're known, and the way, just so people know, that I discovered you is actually we discovered each other via Twitter.
Absolutely.
You were on Twitter and I was on Twitter, and we discovered each other, and we discovered that we were both in the tourism industry, and we were both faced similar challenges, me with my clients in trying to attract people to their tourism business, and you at Lake Arrowhead. But one of the things I did notice is that you actually call yourself the small town girl. So I suppose the first question is, why do you call yourself the small town girl?
Well, okay, here's the scoop on that. I was raised in a small town, and I've spent most of my career living in Lake Arrowhead, which is really, really small. And, you know, there's something about living in a small town. Things operate just, you know, a bit differently than when you live in a big city. And I've always equated my style of marketing to three unwritten rules. You know, these are ones I've made up about living and working in a small town. And so here's those rules. And the first one is that everyone in your small town is your friend and neighbor, and you treat them as such. And this is true with any type of niche marketing. You know, your niche becomes your small town. And you better treat them well. You better treat people, your niche, that are in your niche, like they're your friend and your neighbor. And, you know, that plays right back to you. And then secondly, if you're friendly and you offer great customer service, your business is going to thrive. And this is especially true, I have found, in working with the media when you have a new marketing campaign, because they so appreciate a friendly, helpful person. And your marketing campaign will start off on the right foot if you've got the media behind you. And then my third unwritten rule is, you know, if you offer value to those interested in you and your business, you will have customers and friends for life. Now, you don't have to have necessarily the cheapest price or anything like that. You just have to offer value in the experience. So because of those rules, the name Just a Small Town Girl was very natural for me because I really live that name. And also then from a purely marketing standpoint, you know, it's a well-known phrase, it's a song, and so while people might not remember my name, they're always going to remember that I'm just a small-town girl and can find me that way.
Excellent. Okay. it's good to know, and it's good to have how you've actually branded yourself, basically. Relating back to your own clients. How successful has your experience been in marketing Lake Arrowhead as a tourism destination?
Well, you know, this is a pretty good story because Lake Arrowhead has been a tourist destination since the 1920s. But before the internet, you figure, okay, we're in the center of Southern California. There was no way we could compete with the beach, the desert, and everything else there is to do in Southern California, you know, Disneyland, that sort of thing, because we could not afford traditional advertising. Lake Arrowhead itself is not a city, so we don't have any tax dollars to fund marketing programs. We operate on a grant that our local county provides us with each year, and that's based on the amount of bed tax collected in our area. So that's how my little marketing program is funded, based on this bed tax that's collected. So we were always in desperate need of being able to get our marketing message out, and we just couldn't afford like the Los Angeles Times or, you know, other magazines, that sort of thing. We just didn't have the money. But then in 1994, the internet started to, you know, take hold, and truly we were one of the very first destinations to embrace the internet. And from then on, we have been able to compete successfully with the large destinations that have huge advertising budgets. You know, the internet ended up being a real gift to the Lake Arrowhead communities, and we've, from 1994 on, have driven everything to our web address. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so your total funding from Lake Arrowhead is just via the tax of beds. What sort of figure are you looking at there?
You know what? Ours is a 7.5% bed tax. So, this year we got $133,000 to fund our marketing program. Now, none of that, zero of that, went to advertising, because that keeps our two visitor centers open. The money is all, there's no discretionary dollars. It's already spent on our promotional material that we hand out. And with the economy, it's very interesting. Our Chamber of Commerce lost nearly all the big sponsors for all of our events. So we're very event-driven. So instead of dropping events, we took our advertising money and put it into the events to keep the events going, because that's what brings people to our area. So that $133,000 was completely gone.
Right.
So anyway, with the advent then of social media, our marketing, which I'll talk about, you know, as we go along, our marketing is at another level, because now we've done really well with social media, and we've proven that you don't have to spend a lot of money on advertising. Social media will work for you, and will work for you in a very big way.
How long did it take you to get the social media off the ground?
Oh, boy. You know, here's the story. In the end of 2008, I realized that, oh, my goodness, we are not going to have a dime for marketing. You know, I'd had social media kind of on my radar. You know, Facebook was sort of out there, and I'd been reading a little bit about Twitter. But I had no choice. I was forced to have to dive in to social media in a big way. And so beginning really about December of 2008, and then right up until April when we did our first tweets of 2009, I did nothing but eat, sleep, breathe social media. It was crazy. I'd be up all night. I mean, it doesn't cost you a dime, but it does cost you your time. However, even in the, you know, 18 months that I've been involved, or 15 months I've been involved in social media, there's so many people out there that can really help you. 15, 18 months ago, there weren't that many people. Everybody was still kind of learning. So I didn't have anybody that was saying, do this, do that. Now, oh my goodness, the wealth of information out there and the teaching you can get is just terrific to help you along with social media. But boy, that first, you know, 3 or 4 months was just really tough.
How far is Lake Arrowhead from, just for our Australian listeners, what's the population size, and how far is Lake Arrowhead from, say, LA?
Okay. The population is about 12,000. And
right. So it's a real small town.
Really small, and we are really spread out. There's a bunch of little communities that make up the Lake Arrowhead communities, but there's 12,000 that live there. We are 90 miles east of Los Angeles and 90 miles west of Palm Springs. So we're right smack dab in the middle, but then we're up. We're in the mountains. We're 6,000 feet. We're at 6,000 feet.
Right. Okay. So what other marketing experiences do you have?
Okay. Well, over the past 25 years or so, I've marketed a wide variety of businesses, nonprofit organizations, and events, both, you know, really large and really small. And in addition to my position as Director of Marketing and Tourism for Lake Arrowhead Chamber, I've been involved on a contract basis with two hotels, a shopping center, you know, numerous small businesses, nonprofits, from community theater to merchants associations. And as you referenced, I was part of the team that started Southern California's largest free summer concert series, which just happens to be at Lake Arrowhead. And that was such a fabulous project because we took that from nothing. We even dreamt up the design of the stage. We built the permanent outdoor stage, to choosing the bands that would play, to marketing the concert series. I even got to market some of the individual bands. That was such an exciting job, and I stayed involved with that project for about 5 years. I've also been part of our county, regional, and state tourism marketing efforts for the past 20 years. I've sat on several boards of directors, corporate and nonprofit, directed those organizations' marketing efforts. And then finally, here's a really fun one. In 2008, I was lucky enough to work with American Idol's Idol Camp. And that was an experience in and of itself. I mean, we actually were branded with American Idol and this special summer music camp that they had. And, boy, you know, that's a whole other conversation when you're dealing with an entity as big as American Idol and all the marketing ins and outs of having to deal with that. That was really something. So, anyway,
People know that the Idol is being held at Lake Arrowhead? So.
Well, it was only for that one summer because after that the economy tanked and there's no more Idol Camp anymore. But Idol Camp had been held 1 year on the East Coast, and then they came west because they wanted to be near Los Angeles. And they all came up and chose the Lake Arrowhead area, and a camp just outside of Lake Arrowhead was actually where they held it. And it was quite expensive to send your child there, but these are all, you know, they were great, great musicians, these kids, and they were mentored by past American Idol finalists. So what we did then is we brought them over to our stage in the village, and those American Idol finalists would do concerts for us over there for free.
Excellent. Okay. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, and let's talk tourism, let's talk marketing, let's talk social media. What's the secret behind running a successful tourism marketing campaign for your town or for your destination? And I suppose when you start answering that question, you know, in Australia, just it's very much like the US. The towns and regions have limited funding. We don't have a sort of tourism or bed tax per se. So the funding comes out of normal tax. We do have a federal tax, which is called a passenger movement tax, which generates a lot of money, which goes into running the Tourism Australia. But so it's up to the local shires and the local councils to fund their visitor centres, and then the states in turn fund their regions. And like you, all of us have limited budgets, finite budgets. Some have more than others, but many operating on, you know, like you, on a budget that basically just keeps the doors open. So what's the secret behind a successful tourism marketing campaign?
Okay, I think it all revolves around the letter P. I think there's three P's that make a campaign successful. And the first one's a plan, and everybody's got to have a plan for their marketing campaign. You know, it's got to reflect your goals and objectives, and it ends up being a roadmap for your marketing campaign to follow. It does not have to be pages and pages long. You know, I've worked with people who, you know, detail out absolutely everything. It doesn't have to be that. It just has to keep you moving forward, keep your campaign moving forward, and giving you little, you know, markers that you know that, okay, I've done this, so now I'm going on to the next thing. It just needs to be fluid, though, so you can always change it, because you never know if you're really on the right track or not. And the second P, then, is passion. And I can't speak enough about this, because if you don't have the passion for what you're marketing, it's not going to work. And you've got to believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when your marketing does indeed fill a need, as well as answer your customer's question, because this one question your customer's asking 24/7, and that's what's in it for me, if you have the passion to keep answering that question, you're going to have a successful campaign. If you are only half-hearted about the whole thing, it's not going to be successful. And, you know, this is the exact same feeling you have to have about social media, and we'll talk about that a little bit further. But you've got to have the passion for what you're doing. So then the third P is join forces and have partners. Oh, and you know what, Manny? You talk about partnerships in your Tourism Marketing Essentials book, and you have a great whole section about that.
I do indeed. Yes, very important.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the podcast.
Okay. Well, then, and, you know, marketing, especially with budgets the way they are now in this day and age, works so much better if you have partners. And I'm a total huge believer in putting teams together to make, you know, a marketing campaign successful. There's no reason that you should have to do everything on your own. And you put a team together, you form partnerships, and that way you get a much better buy-in as well as a bigger perspective regarding the marketing of your business or product. Whether it's your employees that you're empowering as partners on your marketing team, I think that's a really big one right there. Or you're bringing in other vendors or businesses, like how we partnered with, you know, American Idol, which was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You have a much better chance of your campaign being, you know, awesomely successful when you bring partners on board. And a partnership philosophy is what runs small towns all the time. People join forces together to get something done. So, you know, it's just much easier when you have others to help you. So that's those three P's I think you've got to have, and you're, you know, on the road to a successful marketing campaign.
Okay, so we've got the plan, the passion, and the partnerships. And I suppose my experience in regional tourism is that a destination or a town is going along fine, it's happy with its tourism, and then, as has been experienced all over Australia in recent times with the global financial crisis and other factors, they suddenly have a downturn. And I've seen, and I'm just looking at the plan now, I've seen that many people react. You get all the players coming, oh, we should be doing this, we should be doing that, and this tourism committee gets torn between all the who's the loudest person calling out and things like that. So how important is the plan, and should there be a plan also maybe for when there is that sudden drop-off?
Absolutely. You know what? It's interesting you even say that, because we went through this in the States in the mid-90s where everything dropped off, and I didn't have a plan then. You know, nobody saw it coming. It just, wham, you know, the economy, you know, takes a dive. So this time around, we definitely had a plan. We have a plan that what are we going to do if we don't get our county grant money? How are we going to operate? You know, so we are always talking about that, and we could do this, we could do that, that sort of thing. So the plan has got, you've got to have a very definite plan that lays out so you are not listening just to the guy that's screaming the loudest, because that person, you know, generally only has, you know, his own vested interest. I've been through this plenty in our little community and actually our region, because there's big entities in our region that feel that, oh no, you know, all dollars should be focused on their attraction or whatever. And we have a good plan that, and now with social media, that is a huge part of our plan. And it wasn't initially. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about social media. But social media puts other people to work for you, and that in your plan, you should build your plan around an army of people who are going to help spread the word that you want spread. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. The second point you talked about was passion, and I don't know if it's just an Australian thing. It maybe happened in the U.S., but again, I've come across clients, and also I'm chairman of Australia's Coral Coast, and it has around 100 plus so members, which is a region that runs sort of up the coast of Western Australia. And I've come across people who are in the tourism business. They run a small attraction, or they run a B&B or something like that, that just don't seem to have the passion either for their business and or their region. And they've sort of, I suppose their initial motive to get in was a lifestyle. You know, they've moved out of the big city in semi-retirement and in their 50s, and they've taken their savings and their super and they've bought a little tourism business. Two questions out of that passion bit.
One, do you get those sort of people in the US? And two, as a regional operator, how do you deal with it? As a regional marketing organization, how do you deal with that?
Oh, great questions. Yes, we definitely have that problem here. Absolutely. And especially when the economy does take a downturn, then, you know, people are more apt to just throw up their hands and say, oh, woe is me, and oh, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. What they need to do, and this is what I've recommended over the last year, and it's worked. I've seen it work umpteen times, and I actually did it too, is I've got the passion, but I can't do everything. And you put somebody in place who's got the passion. Like if you're running a small B&B and it's just, you know, enough to keep your head above water, then bring somebody on board who's got the passion for marketing. And you know what? You don't have to pay them a dime. I hire interns from local colleges who are all in the marketing field that just can't wait to start helping, different ideas. I've got one right now working on a mobile marketing campaign because I don't have time to do all the research on it. You know, you start filling in with younger people who've got the passion, who are excited, who are ready to learn, and that you can mold and have them work within your framework. And it just changes everything. The whole, you know, it really, really helps.
Just, and then moving on to the final point you mentioned, so plan, passion, partnership, and that's the secret behind a successful tourism marketing campaign. In partnerships, you know, again, I talk about this a lot, and I talk about it in the book, Tourism Marketing Essentials, and there is a link there if anyone's interested in having a look at the book. But in Tourism Marketing Essentials, I talk a lot about partnerships and the tourism industry learning that, in fact, their next-door hotel or their attraction in their region is not their competitor, in fact, is their partner. And again, I don't know if it's just an Australian thing or if it happens in the US, trying to get people to understand that the way that tourism works, the nature and the structure of tourism, is that the industry doesn't work if the hotel, the B&B, the attraction, the destination marketing organization, the council, the government, all work together because they're all in it together and they're all partners. Do you have that same sort of challenge in the US?
Oh, absolutely. And just in our little community of Lake Arrowhead, I'll give you an example of how it turned around. We have the Lake Arrowhead Resort and Spa, which is our big hotel, and for years they just kept to themselves. They have restaurant, you know, spa, everything. Well, luckily a new management company came in, and it just, they decided and had the view that they had to partner with people. And gee, lo and behold, the resort now partners with, you know, the Mexican food restaurant that's in the village, and they send people down there. The Mexican food restaurant then recommends, oh, if you're staying anywhere, you stay at the hotel. Well, so other people within our area started getting upset, you know, that, okay, well, here's a partnership. So people started forming partnerships like crazy, and now everybody's recommending everybody else. It's, you know, I'm kind of giggling about it. It's really great the way it's working, and even different shops are recommending other shops and that sort of thing. So in our little area, we have definitely got a handle on that, and I think it makes a big, big difference because you're providing fabulous customer service doing that too. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And then on a state level, in the state of California, we have our California Travel and Tourism Commission. They're the state destination marketing organization. But they've then divided the state up into 12 different regions. I'm in the Inland Empire region. I sit on that board of directors. Then I have a direct link to the state. I take then what our regional organization does back to my community. And I think throughout California, we've got a pretty good good partnership going between, you know, the state, the region, and then the local cities and towns and that sort of thing.
Okay, let's pause there for a moment so we can have some questions. Now, I'm looking on the phone lines, and there doesn't seem to be anyone on the phone, which tends to be the trend these days. Everyone is computers the way to go, and the webcast is we've got a lot of people on the webcast. And for those who would like, you can ask a question. There's a question box there. Just type it in. You don't even have to put your name or put a makeup name if you don't want to be identified. Just push the button there, and I'll get it on my screen. We've got two questions, but what I think we'll do with these two questions is leave them for later. We've got one from June Reith, who's in Gingin in Perth, Western Australia, talking about her B&B, but I'll get back to that question. We've also got another really good question from Chelsea in the Port Douglas, and it's the other side of Australia, talking about Facebook and Twitter, which we will talk about shortly. So I'll just leave those two questions and maybe we'll move on, because we are going to talk a little bit more about the social media side. But just a reminder, you can talk in those questions, and if anyone would like to chat, there's no one in the chat room, so everyone's intently listening, which is great. But if you want to walk in the chat room and discuss things amongst yourselves, you can do that while the webcast is going on. Okay, Leslie, you've mentioned it a couple of times, but, you know, I get the cynics and the clients that throw their hands up and say, I have no budget, you know, and you try and offer them solutions, and they're not they think they need a bigger budget, and there's destinations. And I think in tourism marketing, you never have enough budget. So is it really possible to market with little or no budget?
Absolutely. And if it's okay, I'd like to tell you, you know, the whole Lake Arrowhead story here. I started to talk about it a little bit. So let's just, you know, flash backwards here to the end of 2008. And I realize, you know, we aren't going to have any money. We're going to be lucky to stay afloat, period. And, you know, we had businesses going under. Like I mentioned, we lost all the major event sponsorship dollars that we had. You know, there was just absolutely zero, not a penny, for any kind of marketing, advertising, and promotion. So, you know, okay, we've got to do this social marketing thing. So you heard about how I was, you know, just threw myself into it because that was all I could do. And I'm a staff of one, so there wasn't anybody at that point that I could delegate to or anything. It was just, you know, every waking hour I was trying to learn more about social media. So then in April of 2009, we did our very first tweets, and we actually started working our Facebook page. And we have a film festival at Lake Arrowhead in April, so that's how we kicked off our Twitter presence. And I had three other people and myself that walked around with our little smartphones tweeting things about our festival. And we didn't do it ahead of time, so we were just tweeting what was happening as it was happening. And so, you know, it was very slow at first, but what was very interesting about this little experience over the five-day or four-day film festival was that the film festival lived on after it was over. We had people, I set up a Lake Arrowhead Film Festival hashtag. We asked people that were there to use that hashtag, and, you know, very few did. But afterwards, I was able to track that people were still talking about the film festival up until about a month after it was, you know, all over. And so I was very excited about that and very encouraged. And so still from April through about June, every day I'm still learning, researching, reading, and experimenting with Twitter and Facebook. And so then in June, Twitter, and that's June a year ago, Twitter really started to take off, not so much with followers of like Lake Arrowhead Chamber, which is when I'm speaking about the destination, that's where I'm Twittering, you know, that's the address I'm Twittering from, but this hashtag, people were actually using it, talking about other parts of Lake Arrowhead. And I had, again, these three other people that were tweeting about Lake Arrowhead, including the hashtag, and then I was doing it from my own personal Twitter account, which is just Leslie McClellan. I was also using that. And we were encouraging others in the area who were tweeting, but there were very few, a few realtors. That was the big industry up here that actually kind of embraced social media first. They would, we asked them to tweet about, you know, things that were going on. And so we started to build what I call, you know, a little social media army of people who were pushing information out about Lake Arrowhead. So then came Southern California's largest free summer concert series, which I have to give most of the credit to our social media success last summer to that concert series. It occurs every Friday and Saturday night, May through September. And the concert series was established in 2002, so we had a pretty decent following. But last summer, we chose all classic rock bands, which is, you know, in the States, that's the trend. Everybody wants to go see classic rock tribute bands, not the real thing, but tribute bands. And so in May and June, I asked the MC to ask those in the audience who are on Twitter first to raise their hand. And, you know, there wasn't a big group of people, probably maybe 15 at these concerts. We normally have about 1,000 people on a Friday or a Saturday night. So maybe 15 in the audience would raise their hand and say that they're on Twitter. But we asked them to tweet about the concerts. And by the 4th of July weekend, this is what was just absolutely amazing. 4th of July, a holiday weekend, 3 days. We could track, let me go back for just a second. I stopped using the Lake Arrowhead hashtag because that was just too much for people to, you know, type in when they're tweeting from their phones and stuff. So I've been using TweetDeck, and I have a Lake Arrowhead column that I follow in TweetDeck, and I know about every single person who tweets something about Lake Arrowhead. So I'm able to 100% track what's being said on Twitter about Lake Arrowhead. So by the 4th of July weekend, we tracked that over 15,000 people over those 3 days had the opportunity to read about Lake Arrowhead via Twitter. And from there, it continued to grow, and our concert series last summer went from 1,000 people to, it had to be 2,500 to 3,000. They would close off. You couldn't even have any more people in that area. They had to just, the security guys had to stop letting people in. It was very interesting how people were mostly tweeting about the concert series, and then they'd say, oh, and I ate at a great restaurant named whatever, or I was out on the lake, you know, beautiful day, beautiful weather. It was just amazing how the little social media army, you know, spread the word for us. And, you know, I came to find out through the tweet deck and the column that I set up, that there's two or three other Lake Arrowheads throughout the United States. I only knew of one in Georgia, but there's one in Texas, and there's another one up in Wisconsin, I think. But when you look at the Lake Arrowhead, you know, mentions, we totally dominate it. We have got that Lake Arrowhead, you know, just locked up, and I'm really excited about that. And the only other thing that I did was I continued to work with the media, because the media and, you know, freelance writers have kept me alive, kept me doing my job for the last, you know, 20 years, because I've worked really hard at building the relationship with the media, and I have a very strong media list. And so we were getting a lot of media writing about our success with Twitter and Facebook, because that was a pretty good story last summer. But we didn't ever pay for anything, because we had no money to pay for any kind of promotion. So anyway, you know, we finished the summer. We're doing really well. But, you know, the economy is still terrible. And I was really, really worried, because I had put all my eggs in one basket, so to speak. Without any mainstream or traditional advertising, I was really worried, as November was coming around, we were going to find out what our funding was going to be for this year. And I thought, oh, man, you know, this might have just cost me my job. I don't know. And I have to give a huge amount of credit to our board of directors for our Chamber of Commerce. We have 21 of them. And, you know, in the mid-90s, when nobody knew about the Internet, they let me go forward with the Internet. When, you know, a couple years ago, when nobody really knew much about Twitter and Facebook, they let me do it. And they've just been so supportive, and I can't, you know, can't say enough about that, having the people behind you support you. That really helps helps with your whole marketing plan. So anyway, near the end of this past November, the county contacted us, you know, with the numbers, and lo and behold, we got about $700 more in our bed tax doing nothing but social media. So social media took the place of 7 months of magazine advertising in a national travel magazine. It also took the place of print ads that we would take out for our various events, that sort of thing. We got more money using social media, and only social media, than we ever got before. So,
fantastic information there, Leslie. Sorry if I've just interrupted you there, but I'm getting flooded with questions. Some of them, I know, because some of the questions I know you're going to answer shortly with other questions we've got coming up for you, but just a few that have come in, haven't been named, but have, and I know this is a hard question to answer, but see if you can answer it in a couple of minutes. How do you use Twitter? How do you decide what to put up there?
That there's a learning curve there. It's very interesting how it's not so much what you put up, it's how you put it up. Like now, when I'm promoting an event, let's say I'm going to say, oh, this Saturday night, the concerts, whatever, I'll put a hashtag, I'll put hashtag concerts, hashtag events. The hashtag is really, really important, I think, especially when you're promoting something very specific, because then when you hashtag a word, it will show up under that specific category on Twitter. And so somebody who's just, they'll go into Twitter search and look for events. Well, lo and behold, here my, you know, concert is going to come up under events, and they could be, you know, they could be anywhere in the world, but hey, they might be in Los Angeles and want to come up here, you know, for our free concert. The other thing I do, and I try to do this as much as possible, is link back to a page, whether I'm doing my own blog or doing marketing for Lake Arrowhead, link back to a page deep in your website to get people to get into your website and look at it. Like, if I'm talking about the concerts, I've set up a special page back in my Lake Arrowhead website that they have to go to, and then they have to click on that to get the concert schedule and that sort of thing. So they're not just going to the front page. They've got to get into my website. So it isn't so much what you tweet, because you're going to tweet whatever you need to get out that's important. It's how you do it that really matters.
This probably leads on to a good question that I said came in earlier from Chelsea of Port Douglas. I'll read it as she's put it in there. We have a Facebook and Twitter profiles that are established, and we have engagement down through this. I want to develop an application that allows people to share their experiences about Port Douglas Dantry via Facebook or Twitter, and also develop a page on our website dedicated to sharing, i.e. blogs, pictures, videos, with our Facebook, Twitter streams, etc. How would you recommend destinations integrate social media and their website? Quick answer is that a lot of those applications now, Chelsea, Leslie will sure back me up on this, are actually available now that you can put on. But Leslie, over to you.
Well, you're exactly right. You can get them, you know, kind of all over the place. And this is such a timely question for me, too. We're just about to redo our website. And, you know, if anybody ever wants to go look about Lake Arrowhead, it's lakearrowhead.net, N-E-T, is my destination website. And it's 6 or 7 years old, so we are going to totally redo everything. We hope to have it all done by about mid-October. We are adding pages where people can post all of that. That's the whole thing. That's what you've got to do now. And there's nothing more powerful than the testimonies of people who have, you know, tried your services. So we're putting up two different things. We're going to do a page where people can write in and, you know, talk about what they've done and post their photos and that sort of thing. And another thing that I just started was an iFlip for Lake Arrowhead promotion. And what I mean by iFlip for Lake Arrowhead is, I don't know about in Australia, but in the States, everybody's got those little flip video cameras. Mm-hmm. And we are having people submit little 30-second segments of what they're doing in Lake Arrowhead to us. We own the video. We're going to put it up all over our website. It saves us the expense of having to go out and shoot video. You know, we're going to choose which clips are worthy of, you know, going up under the weather section or the water sports section or that sort of thing. But then come November, we're going to have a grand prize where somebody's going to win an all-expense-paid trip to Lake Arrowhead, meaning they have to drive. We're not, you know, we can't fly anybody in or anything. But they'll get a trip to Lake Arrowhead. They'll get put up at the resort and spa, and we'll pay for meals and do all sorts of fun things. So that's another way we're pulling our audience into our new website.
The other answer to that, Chelsea, is there's, and you may have already done this, but there is your normal Facebook page, and now there's what's called fan pages. And the Facebook fan page, people can leave comments, and people can upload videos, the whole shooting match. And if you have a look on the website now that you're looking at the webcast, Icon Tourism's put up, there's 9 videos on how to put the Facebook fan page together, how to integrate it with Twitter, and it's a step-by-step. These videos are very, very good. They're not tourism-specific. They're basically small business, but there's 9 videos all told, and I think it's only $14.95. But if you just click on that link, you'll be able to get these videos, and they are really fantastic. My wife, Sue, discovers these videos, and she's been using them, one, on her business and giving them and selling them to her clients. But they're a step-by-step, and it just holds your hand, shows you how to integrate the Twitter, integrate with the Facebook, and basically do a lot of what you're asking for. The second part of Chelsea, and Leslie and I have both done this, and you've heard Leslie say that she spent hours and hours. It takes you less than 2 minutes and zero computer knowledge to basically set up a Twitter account, and the same with a Facebook account. It's also the same, too, for a YouTube account or to set up a profile on LinkedIn, all different social medias. The first step, and the very, very first step, is you just got to do that. You just got to set them up. You got to start playing with them. You sort of start feeling them out. You're not going to blow up the computer. You're not going to blow up the business. There's relatively little damage you can do to your business or region, but you've got to get on there and just start having a look at it. Otherwise, you don't know what we're sort of talking about now, and that's probably step one, which leads me to another question, Leslie, is that why do small businesses at times get overwhelmed with social media, and in particular marketing? It just seems I get a lot of clients who, you know, will spend hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars on setting up an attraction or an establishment or a restaurant or tourism business, and then give little regard to marketing or little budget to marketing. But also too, when I'm confronted with, you know, I've got no budget, I'm now starting to quote your story, and I'm also, you know, sitting down and doing social media training and tutorials with them. But they seem to get overwhelmed with this whole social media thing. Why is that, do you think?
Oh,
particularly small businesses.
Oh yeah, I've met with so many over the last, you know, 18 months, and you know, only a handful of them have left meeting with me excited. Most of them just get this glazed look. It's just way too much for them. And you know, because running a small business, and you know, especially in this economy, it's totally overwhelming. Period. So people who run their small businesses, they have great passion for their endeavor, but so often it's just them trying to make a go, you know, of their business. And so while they have the passion for their business, they don't have the passion for all aspects of small business. And so oftentimes it's the marketing that suffers, because they're more, you know, they're in a business, they've sunk all of their money into something, and they need to make a go of the business. They don't think that marketing necessarily drives the business. But, you know, as marketers, we know that that's really about the most important thing. But these poor people, by the time they pay attention to all the other aspects of running a small business, they're personally spent. They can hardly function. And then they have to deal with the marketing of it. And then, on top of that, you know, they've got newspapers, magazines, whatever, you know, trying to get them to spend money on marketing. And then you come in and say, oh, well, there's this whole social media thing, not going to cost you a dime, but it's going to cost you, you know, your time. And that just kind of throws them over the edge. So I think the problem is the big time factor it takes to get marketing, period, whether it's social media or whatever, up and running. And you know, personally, being a marketer, I've felt overwhelmed many times. I bet you have too, Manny, you know, where it's just like, oh, my gosh, this is just too much. But, you know, it's certainly if you put some time and effort into the marketing, it's going to pay off in the end, you know. And while it might cost you some time in the beginning, oh my goodness, once you get it up and running, especially social media, it's your ticket. And it's not costing you anything. And you know what? I keep, as I tell these other small businesses, there's time before you go to bed at night that you can, you know, do some research and work on this. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. And
yeah, it's funny. Someone's just commented here. They didn't leave their name, which is fine. But it says, we get overwhelmed because we don't have the time, let alone the money, to read all the training and try to figure it out. Look, in, you know, and that's true. The time factor is for everyone, and the money factor is for everyone. And you know, it was one of my sort of prime motivations for writing Tourism Marketing Essentials. I mean, I've written it as simply as I can.
You've laid it out very beautifully. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very practical, and you know, you don't even have to read the whole lot. There's one whole chapter there on internet marketing and Facebook and Twitter. And it'll hold your hand blow by blow. It'll talk about Facebook. It'll talk about Twitter. Talk about other social media things. And even if you don't want to get involved in social media, even if you don't want to market with that, the least that you should be doing now is monitoring your business via social media, seeing what people are saying about your business. And there's a lot of websites now where people are leaving comments, etc.
Absolutely.
On your business, you might not even know about it. There's blogs. There's that people are walking in and writing. I had a client the other day, very very successful restaurant operator in Perth, and still using traditional marketing methods and still doing very well. We talked about social media, and he basically said he doesn't need it, and he's right. But then I sat down and said, I pulled up the laptop and I said, let's have a look at what they're talking about. He said, what do you mean? I just plugged in the name of the restaurant into Google and up came a few blogs. Now, they're all positive comments. And there's online applications now for restaurant reviews for tourism businesses. And the least that you should be doing is monitoring what people are saying about your business, even if you don't want to get involved or don't have the time for social media. You need to hear what they're saying. And the Tourism Marketing Essentials, you know, it's 200 pages, it's very practical, but it has, you know, you can just pick out the chapters that you want. If you want just internet social marketing, there's a chapter on that. If you want to look at traditional methods of marketing, there's chapters on that as well. And so for those, and I'll just give a quick commercial right now, but for those that are listening, if you look at Tourism Marketing Essentials, there's a button there, you can click on that. And I've lowered the price today to $19.50 Australian for this soft cover book that will be you can purchase online there. And for all those that buy the soft cover today, if you email me that you've bought the soft cover and I can check it, then I'll send you out the PDF. So tonight you can have a look at a chapter which would explain a lot of the questions that you're looking for. Leslie.
Wait. I want to just say that, you know, I've never, ever come across such a thorough tourism marketing book, ever. I just want to encourage everybody that's listening to take a look at it, because from start to finish, boy, every chapter is just jam-packed with terrific information. And even in the marketing part, Manny, I saw things that I never knew. I learned right out of your book. It's great.
Thank you. That's great. Let's just have a quick look at some questions that might be coming in. Chelsea's just sent another one.
Well, you know, with Chelsea, can I add something about the Facebook part?
Yeah, sure.
Quickly, you know, I made a very big mistake when I first set up Lake Arrowhead's Facebook page, because I just set up a regular Facebook page. And you really, yeah, for any business, you need to have that fan page. And there's, there's really good marketing reasons why you want that. But what drove me crazy is that, you know, when you have a regular page, you're reading what everybody else who you've never met, they've all just been tourists to Lake Arrowhead that have, you know, become your friends. You're reading all their baloney, and you don't care about that. So it's really important that when you set up your Facebook page, that you do set up the fan page, or what they're calling just a straight page now.
Mm. I'll just read you Chelsea's question. She goes, thanks for your time. I guess I'm trying to make it to the next step now that we are established. We are redeveloping websites as well, but I would really like to integrate our social media with our websites. We shoot videos too and have them on YouTube. I like the idea of getting others to submit them too. Thanks again. Chelsea, what I suggest is might be a good time now, Leslie, to give your email.
Oh, sure. Anybody can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at justasmalltowngirl.us.
Great. So you can email Leslie or email me at manny@icontourism.com.au. That's manny@icontourismalloneword.com.au. And Chelsea, if you'd like to send us an email, we'll continue the conversation off the webcast. Question here, what is TweetDeck? TweetDeck, there's Twitter, and then there's lots and lots. In fact, I read the other day, there's 2,000 different, I suppose you can call them programs or applications that can work with Twitter. TweetDeck is just one of those. It makes it easier to manage your tweets. It makes it easier to look at tweets that are coming in. What else we got there? Okay, the rest we're going to answer shortly. We're rapidly running out of time, but you're giving such great information, Leslie, and I'm loath to stop it. I might actually extend us another 15 minutes so that we can keep going a little bit. And I know that the webcast people are coming and going at the moment because the numbers are going up and down, but don't worry, there will be the replay, which we'll be sending out. And in actual fact, it's the same link for those that are listening now, but we'll also send out the replay. Another question for you, Leslie. What would you say to people who are scared to try their hands at new things because, you know, of the big budget scenario? And that's number one. So what would you say to people who are scared? Number two, you and I know both that marketing with low budgets needs a lot of patience. So how can people remain focused and not be discouraged by slow client turnover? So two sort of questions there.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, you can only be successful with huge marketing budgets. I mean, I'm the perfect case study for that. You know, that's not true. No way. You just have to have your plan. And if you've done the research, you know what you can and cannot afford. And like the last 2 years for me, I can't afford anything. So social media has been my ticket. You know, you figure out what you can do. And then all I can say is jump in and try it. You know, make sure you've done your research, you know, so you know that you're doing something that's viable. But get in there and try it. You need to think out of the box. You need to be adventurous. You know, that's what marketing is all about. And you need to get out there and embrace the new ways of doing things, which, you know, such as social media. At Lake Arrowhead, my little mantra for 20 years has been try to stay cutting edge. And I was actually, you know, a little behind the curve as far as the social media thing goes. I could have, started that a year earlier and been way ahead of the game. But try to see what the trends are, not so much the tools, but what the trends are. And with the global success of social media, and since the cost is next to nil, you know, this is one way businesses, organizations, and events can market easily to their niche. And you're being extremely relevant because social media is the hip way to do things. So that's for people who, you know, say, oh, only big marketing budgets, you know, work. That's definitely not true, and I hope you'll always remember my little Lake Arrowhead story. And then, you know, marketing with no money requires a lot of patience, that's for sure, but also you have to really persevere. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, you have to have some sort of marketing plan with small attainable goals. That's something everybody's, you know, that's an absolute must. But again, it doesn't have to be grandiose, just something on paper showing the direction you want to go and what your ultimate goal is and how you think you're going to get there. And if you refer to this weekly even, you don't have to refer to it every day, weekly, you can see the small successes and milestones that you've, you know, made that eventually culminate into a successful marketing program. It's, you know, it's kind of like that slow and steady wins the race. You just keep plugging along little by little, and you're going to get there. That you just have to keep, you know, you're going to get there.
Leslie, do you have anything that you can give small tourism businesses or visitor centers that they can use to help them market on a low budget?
Absolutely. I've got two things that are completely free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
We like free.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to live that way. So on my blog, which is, you know, justasmalltowngirl.us, I have a download, the Small Town Marketing Handbook. And back in December, I decided, gosh, you know, I think I need to write down all my marketing thoughts. And so this is a real short ebook that you can download, and you have to put in your name and your web address, because part of social media is building a list. Now, I'm building a list, but I'm not doing anything with it right now. Maybe someday you'll get something, hear something from me via the internet, but right now, I'm only building my list. So you've got to put your name and your email address in, but you can download this ebook, and it really talks about small town marketing. And then if you want to send me an email, I'm doing a talk next week about social media regionally, and I did a whole little packet on laying the groundwork for your social marketing program. And it asks you tons of questions. It's a fill-out thing that will get you ready to jump into social media. And even if you are already in it, it really focuses you. It keeps you on, you know, the right track. So if you send me an email, I'll email you that.
Excellent. Fantastic, Leslie. That's really, really good. So that link to the Small Town Girl is actually, if you're listening to the webcast now, you can click on, there's a link on the page there. If you're listening to the replay will have a link there just to the left of your screen. You'll see a link to get that fantastic ebook, and I have read it, the social media marketing for small towns, and your ground plan. And that's a very, very generous offer, Leslie.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. And I hope people let me know, you know, what they thought, how it worked for them.
Excellent. That would be fantastic. I'm just, you've given us a lot of information, and you've got your Small Town Girl blog, but where can they find out more about you? Is that the blog? Is there any other areas, places?
The blog is good, and then right from the blog, you can get to my Facebook page, which is Just a Small Town Girl. So you can get to my Facebook page there, and that Just a Small Town Girl Facebook page, I post just one tip Monday through Friday, each workday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I post one tip about doing your marketing better. And sometimes it's things that I find from Twitter, sometimes it's practical experience, that sort of thing. So if you want that sort of thing, you can like me on Facebook, and you'll get that one each, you know, one a day. And I think that, you know, people seem to like that. So, and then also, I'm on Twitter, and you can just follow, you know, we'll follow each other on Twitter, and it's at Leslie McLellan. So that's a great way, too. And one other thing, and I hope this doesn't totally confuse everybody, but we were talking about TweetDeck, and the other application that I use exclusively besides TweetDeck is Hootsuite. And you might want to go back and you know, just look at that at some point in time. But between those two, I can follow everything. I can track everything. They're both wonderful programs. And they're both
Excellent.
Free.
Okay. We're going to sort of start to wrap up the call, but there's a quick question here that I'll throw in. It's a good question. Do you have any tips on how you build up your fans on Facebook or your followers on Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. Twitter first and foremost, because actually I use Twitter more than I use Facebook. Twitter, there are a ton of different applications like Twello and Twitter Search. I look for people that I find interesting, that I have a common interest with. And so then I'll follow that person. That person generally will follow me back if we're both in the same type of marketing. And then you usually get two or three other people that follow the person you're following that then join up with you. So it's really great using these different, like, yellow page type things that you can find. You just go to, you know, Google for that sort of thing. That really helps. Then I also, on TweetDeck, I have a column that has all the kind of the big people that are in my industry that I like to follow, and I see who they're talking to. And then you can look at the person's profile, whatnot. You can follow people that way. And oftentimes, too, if you put out something on Twitter that's, you know, very valuable, you get retweeted. And once somebody else retweets you, you get more followers that way, too. Now, Facebook's another animal, and you have to work a little harder at that. But, again, I would integrate both Twitter and Facebook. I would tweet about both Twitter. You know, here's my Twitter profile. Here's my Facebook profile. You can overlap, and you know, it all starts to pan out pretty well.
And those videos show you how to do that as well. If you want to click on the left, the fan page videos will show you how to increase and how to use Twitter. And it's a very practical list that shows you actual Twitter and Facebook setup pages and how to do it. Last thing, Leslie, and I've extended the call some 15 minutes so we can do
thanks.
This. Because we're getting a lot of information. I've got a lot of people who have suddenly asked us a lot of questions. How I'm going to do this is we'll start with June's, and June was the first one to send in the question. And what I think we'll do is we'll talk about different types of businesses in tourism and what you might do, say, from the beginning. Because June runs a restaurant and a bed and breakfast, B&B, in Western Australia, in the country. And it's very hard to get the locals to support you. How can I increase my business from all areas and track them? I have farm animals, great ambience, and food. Thanks, June. Leslie.
That's a fabulous question.
Yeah. It's taken an hour to answer, but in 1 minute, how would June?
Well, I have absolutely 100% practical experience with this, because at the Lake Arrowhead Resort and Spa, they had a restaurant that the locals wouldn't go near. It was overpriced. You know, everybody said, oh, it's nice, but people just wouldn't go there. And now they've turned it around. It is the local place. It, you know, that's where everybody wants to go. And the locals are coming because the prices are great. They have they went out to the locals and said, what are some of your favorite food items? And so we found, like, meatloaf. A certain type of meatloaf was really popular. And so they give credit to the local people, saying, this is a local, favorite. And another thing that another restaurant's done in our area, they actually named dishes after some of the local people. And they would kick off of, you know, so-and-so's, you know, dinner. And the person who it was named after would have to, you know, they would bring their friends, and it was a big night. And that's how another way to, you know, you have to bond with the locals. And if you're coming in to have so-and-so's favorite dinner, that's kind of a neat thing. And one other thing that I've learned from Twitter, I got this from another hotel. They have specialty nights for the locals. Like, here's a couple of names. Sangria and Sunsets, one of the nights. Or Tequila Tecate Tuesdays. That sort of thing. And the locals, from what I've read from this other hotel that's near San Diego, are embracing this because they're specialty nights. So you can have the nicest ambiance, you can have all these things going for you, but you've got to give the locals a reason to come.
Second
How about
question.
That?
We didn't come in here, but we had the question before, and it's a more probably discussion, but we had a tourism winery down south that was looking at trying to crack the U.S. market, I suppose. You're in the U.S., and you're the mm-hmm. social media queen in tourism. Some quick tips for them?
You know, I think that's a really exciting connection here, because I think there's so many different U.S. Ways that they could crack the U.S. market. But first and foremost, any resort hotel, like in particular the one I work with, Lake Arrowhead Resort and Spa, we have wine dinners. Well, why are we not connecting with any Australian winery, as a matter of fact, to put on a wine dinner that features Australian wine? And, most hotels in the States right now, and other entities too, are doing this. But what a great way to start targeting some very specific places that you know that are having wine dinners. And I know at our hotel we did we had an Italian night, and we've had South America, that sort of thing. So I think that's a great way to start off. And also by having a social media presence and start talking about, here's my wine, I'd like to branch into the U.S., oh, my goodness, you target the right people, they're going to be talking back saying, come on, come to my place. We want your wine here.
Excellent. Now, I actually do, there was a winery in New South Wales that started just via Twitter getting hold of U.S. buyers and mainstream restaurants and selling direct into the U.S. And their only means that they did that was via Twitter. So the social media can be used. Leslie, you've given us some fantastic information here, and I want to thank you so much for giving up your time. I know it's late in the U.S. in California, and imparting a lot of what you learn. You are a brilliant example of how a small town, a small tourism destination, small tourism businesses that have no budget and apply themselves with a plan, with passion, and with partnerships, use social media to increase their numbers into their town and region. It's been really great having you on board.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for having me. I have enjoyed every last second of this. And again, anybody who's listening, don't hesitate to contact me. I'm happy to help any way I can.
Are you doing lectures, Leslie?
Oh, I am doing quite a few. I have the passion. I love to talk about this, and I love to help. So, I'm really enjoying this, especially getting out and talking about all of this now.
Well, maybe if we can find a sponsor, we can bring you down to Australia and set up a few lectures. Because, in Australia, the tourism industry from Cairns to Melbourne, from Esperance to Kununurra and everywhere in between, it's been hard. It's been very, very hard, and we've suffered a lot of what the US has suffered. Our dollar's now going up, so a lot of Australians are not holidaying at home; they're holidaying overseas and in places like Bali and stuff. And it'd be great to hear a different take and different perspective. Okay, to finish off today, we're just going to summarise what is available for everyone, and Leslie, you've given us some generous stuff. So let's start with yours, because yours is free. What have you got on offer?
Okay, we've just finished the Vault replay from our webcast with Leslie, because all the offers are not valid anymore. But I hope you appreciate and agree that Leslie had a lot to offer, and it was a brilliant podcast that had lots of information 4 years ago, and most of it's still valid today. So that'll include, because it's an extra long podcast this week, but we'll be back to our normal format next time. And for those that, if you'd like to leave a comment at iTunes on the podcast, The Tourism Brief, The Business of Tourism, then I'll be happy to give you the free book that was mentioned in the podcast. That's Tourism Marketing Essentials. If you text your name and email to 0418-743-025, that's 0418-743-025. Text your name and your email address to that number, and I'll pass on a PDF complimentary book of Tourism Marketing Essentials. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening in. Please tell your friends and tourism industry colleagues about us, and we will see you next time on Tourism Brief, The Business of Tourism.